Hi to all our podcast listeners. Today we are going to interview someone very special and more close to our hearts, I would say. We have someone from Shanti Bhavan. Shanti Bhavan was founded in 1997 by Dr. George, and they share this noble vision for elevating poor and underprivileged kids in India. They are a successful NGO who provide quality education to underprivileged kids in the south of India and much, much more. We have with us Susan Kale Young, Manager of Strategic Partnerships at Shanti Bhavan. She herself has a varied background in communication, fundraising, marketing, with a particular focus on corporate development. She's credited for creating the MOD trademark fundraising program, the Achievement in Radio Awards, replicating the program in 20 top media markets across the US. During that time, Susan adopted her two children, now teenagers, from countries in Asia, which is very, very noble. It really touches my heart. And a warm welcome to you, Miss Susan. How are you doing?
Thank you so much. I'm very, very pleased to be with you today.
Likewise. I'm so glad you agreed to do this with us. I just have a lot of questions, very curious to know and tell our audience about the situation of underprivileged kids and in general, the trend of education, casteism, and all that is there in India. So I'm excited. Thank you again for agreeing to do this with us. So my first question would be, Ms. Susan, that can you tell us what Shanti Bhavan is and what are your missions and visions and how did it start off, actually?
Absolutely. It's actually an exciting story and one that began 25 years ago. So we're celebrating our 25th anniversary. More on that in a little bit. Shanti Bhavan Children's Project is the vision of Indian American entrepreneur Dr. Abraham George. He lived in the New York area, had a vibrant career, and at the age of 50, decided he wanted to use his own resources to go back to India and create an organization that would really help the children of deprived backgrounds become leaders through excellence in education and holistic personal development. The long-term goal of Shanti Bhavan is that our graduates will not only transform the lives of their own families, both economically and socially, but that they will also assist a minimum of 100 other individuals. So 25 years ago, Dr. George had built the campus. It's a residential school, absolutely free to these families. Children are chosen based upon their level of poverty, that their family lives below the poverty line in India, less than $2 a day. Preference is given or priority is given to children from one parent families or children who just have a mother and no father or a legal guardian, but no actual, biological parents. The children come to our school at the age of 3 or 4 for preschool. If you can imagine children coming to our campus, being brought by their guardians, we bring 26, actually now we're closer to 30, but 26 new students each year, 13 boys and 13 little girls. They come to campus and it's an immediate life-changing experience. They learn how to use indoor plumbing. They learn how to use a faucet and a light switch, how to hold a crayon or a pencil or a pen in their hand, things they've never done before, to say the least. So they come in at that 3 or 4 years old, as cute as a button. And if you see the pictures of our recent preschoolers, you just want to, grab them up and hug them. So, and they stay through 12th grade. Mm-hmm. Now, they graduate from Shanti Bhavan and they get a very high level academic experience. Our teachers are certified in mm-hmm. India. They are educated in English. They go through all of the national exams for excellence. Mm-hmm. And in recent years, we've been preparing students who select themselves to take the SATs, mm-hmm. the exam that, permits them to come to college in the U.S., and then apply for college in the U.S. We now have 10 students in the U.S. All of them are on full scholarships, which is essential. Wow. We would not be able to, you know, cover the cost of tuition in the United States. Both my kids are in college now. I know how bad those numbers look for college tuition, and they go on to have vibrant careers. So the first classes of Shanti Bhavan children are now in their late 20s. I think 29. And have begun their careers and are having vibrant careers in major companies, you know, from Amazon and Google, Goldman Sachs, Ernst & Young, you name it, ExxonMobil, mm-hmm. working in major companies, well paying, relatively based upon where they are and what they do within the company. And they are supporting their families. So we've seen that the recipe that Dr. George created, you know, a quarter century ago has worked. These kids, once they started working immediately, they started giving 78% to 80% of their monthly or annual income to their families to move them into safer dwellings, to put their siblings through school, and even college in some cases, and to support their villages or communities with infrastructure. So they immediately began to share their resources and give back. So yeah, so the idea that, you know, my boss Ajit George, the founder's son, likes to say, we're a poverty alleviation organization. Mm-hmm. We're raising change agents. These are the folks who are going to battle racism, sexism, violence, casteism, not just in India, but ultimately around the world.
That's very true. I can remember the fact that you quoted that saying, the daily wage of the parents of these kids or the guardians is less than €2 a day. And I'm very, very sure that this fact is this number is not exaggerated just to please the ears or make it sound very dramatic. But €2 a day is, I don't know, how can people run families in this, right? Money? Yeah. I'm pretty sure it's very difficult. And it's great that you find these kids. I'm pretty sure there are many, many kids who require this, but at least you're able to help the ones with the worst background, I would say, which is great.
Absolutely. Absolutely. To say that their lives are transformed 100% is almost an understatement. You know, they come as preschoolers, they go through elementary school, again, living on campus. They normally visit their families and go home for visits twice a year, mm-hmm. but we couldn't do that much during the pandemic. So our staff, our faculty, they all live on campus too. So even in the last, you know, 26, 27 months during the pandemic, we've really been able to keep folks pretty much safe and secure on campus, mm-hmm. for the most part, limiting any visits to the campus. Kids have been able to continue their studies. And also it's very important to us that they are broad. You know, their education is broad. It is academic focused. There's no question. And it's rigorous. It's tough.
Right.
But also we believe in providing instruction in music and art, dance, theater, and all kinds of sports. Mm-hmm. We have an award-winning soccer team on campus. And sometimes they play in tournaments against adult leagues, mm-hmm. from different companies, local companies in Bangalore who come out. And they do quite well despite, you know, their age and their size. So these young boys and girls have been chosen, and they know, they have a sense of the responsibility, mm-hmm. on their shoulders. Mm-hmm. They've all come from very, very difficult backgrounds and are really have their foot in both worlds, right? Wow. Mm-hmm. You know, they're in the Shanti Bhavan world of education. And they're also, you know, with their family ties. And, mm-hmm. it's important that they stay connected to their families.
True.
You know, so it's they really support each other to navigate the challenges of sort of living in both worlds. Mm-hmm. And the last thing I wanted to tell you, forgive me, you can ask another question, but I'm so proud and impressed that we're a self-sustained campus. Mm-hmm. We have our own water wells for drinking water. We have an organic farm and fruit orchard. Mm-hmm. So most of our fruits and vegetables come from there. In fact, I heard a wonderful story the other day. One of our college students who came to the U.S. and was having lunch with our staff said, "Why aren't the vegetables very tasty in the United States?" And they had to laugh. And they said, "You know, at Chunti Bhavan, they pick your vegetables in the morning. And you eat them at dinner, you know, they're organic, no pesticides. They're the best mm-hmm. tasting fresh vegetables." It's ironic, you know, mm-hmm. that this is the case. So we have cows for milking. We have chickens for eggs for the diet mm-hmm. of the campus. And we also have solar panels on all of the buildings' roofs. So we generate most of our own electric power. Wow. And the last thing I'm going to say before you ask another question is we now are building our second school. We call it Shanti Bhavan 2. Mm-hmm. It's about 2 hours drive from our current school. Mm-hmm. Very exciting. We've broken ground. We're on our way to a second school, the Shanti Bhavan 2.
That's super great. This one's in Tamil Nadu, if I'm not wrong, right? The one that you guys are building.
Right. It's a little northwest of where we are now.
Mm-hmm. That's so... Yeah. Great. Also that I know that this school is in Bangalore, and having that big a campus in Bangalore and in a more metropolitan city and being self-sustainable is something really great.
Well, you know what? It's not in Bangalore. It's outside Bangalore. So it's about it's about 2 hours drive southeast of Bangalore, right on the Tamil Nadu and Karnataka line, state lines. So it's out. In fact, it's in a very rural area. We have very unreliable Wi-Fi. You know, you'll hear that, you know, more about that. But it's we're in a very rural area. It's hard to find if you don't know where you're going. Our second school, though, is west, sort of northwest of Bangalore, close to the airport and the train line. Mm-hmm. So that's exciting because it's going to have all the features our current campus is. It's organic, organic farm, and it's a beautiful property. Lots of water supply. And as you know, water scarcity is one of the biggest challenges in South India.
Right.
So this campus, we've dug the wells, and we feel like it's really going to be, you know, sustainable in terms of water resources, and But it'll be more accessible to visitors, mm-hmm. You know, that they can maybe take a taxi or an Uber straight to the school mm-hmm. And they want to visit. Yeah.
Given that it's in the more rural part, it brings me to the next question. So are all the teachers and volunteers based on campus? Do they stay there? And can you talk me through your team and who they are, and how do you coordinate between you guys in the US and the core team mm-hmm. itself, which is in India?
Right. Yeah. So our teachers and other instructors and other faculty or operations staff all live on the campus. They live in a teacher's dormitory and a staff dormitory. They really make a remarkable personal sacrifice to live on campus and to serve these children, you know, from the cafeteria workers to the grounds folks to the teachers and other administrators. So they live on campus, which you know, it offers a level of protection, you know, and especially during the pandemic. So we have the teachers for each level, for each class. Mm-hmm. We also have, you know, we had to take a break from this during the really toughest part of the pandemic, but we have volunteers that come to Shanti Bhavan from all around the world. Mm-hmm. So these volunteers come, they often assist teachers in the classroom. They do administrative things, like we have a student sponsorship program. So when someone wants to sponsor one of our students, we take their picture, the child's picture, mm-hmm. and we build a little bio about them and offer that profile to the sponsor. And then we send updates throughout the year. So taking those photos and interviewing the child to come up with a narrative for those profiles, volunteers, you know, are really, really helpful with that. They also teach different kinds of, you know, classes, music and art, and also sometimes in sport. We had a world-renowned chess player come to Shanti Bhavan. I want to say it was about 2.5 years ago. It was before the pandemic. And she taught our children how to play chess.
Wow.
And brought some chess boards. So, you know, we had Broadway actors and dancers from Broadway in New York City come mm-hmm. to this campus and teach the kids. We also have had medical professionals from actually on the East Coast of the U.S. And the New York area, a company that comes and conducts an annual health assessment of each child to make sure they're doing well and to make any suggestions, mm-hmm. Recommendations to the staff about how to keep the children healthy.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody, all of those folks who do that live on campus. And then there's a very small office of staff in Bangalore.
Mm-hmm.
And then a few of us in the U.S., like myself, who just a handful of us mm-hmm. who work together to make things happen there.
Oh, wow. I'm pretty sure these kids get more exposure than the rest, I think, with volunteers coming from all over the globe.
They really do. I mean, you know, I think it's so essential having those volunteers on campus from everywhere,
right.
from all over Europe, Asia, you know, North and South America. Just amazing. And then also the indirect connection or contact with their sponsors.
Mm-hmm.
So when someone chooses to sponsor a child, mm-hmm. which I should tell you, as we speak, it's $1,950 a year, which can be done monthly. But when you sponsor a student and you receive their profile about their background and their likes and dislikes, that child knows that they're being sponsored. I mean, we certainly don't give them any of your personal information or your address and so on, but they know that this person in Paris, in Germany or in Australia or in the US or Canada, when they know that someone far, far away cares about them,
mm-hmm.
supports them, and wishes them to do well and to succeed, it has an enormous sort of emotional, psychological impact on them. It really does. It's amazing.
That's very true. I mean, these kids are, I can only imagine that they're really fortunate because the poverty level in India is pretty high, and out of which, I don't know, how many students study in that school in one academic year?
Well, right now we're at about 260 students there. Our new school will be a little bit more than that. We've had some attrition, you know, in elementary school, middle school, families move and the child is pulled out of school,
okay.
or perhaps the father becomes injured and the boy has to go to work, mm-hmm. you know, at very, very young ages. There always is going to be some attrition. We've figured out how to prevent most of that attrition, but it still exists.
Okay. But what is your criteria to get these kids? How do you scout them? Do you have a team mm-hmm. of people who scout these kids, or mm-hmm. Do they just come to you based on your reputation and just that they are very helpless? Do they come to you, or do you scout these kids?
Well, you know, a little bit of both. We've certainly developed a reputation over the years. And, you know, if you watch Daughters of Destiny, mm-hmm. and I haven't mentioned that yet, but, you know, we have a docuseries on Netflix. It belongs to Netflix. It doesn't belong to Shanti Bhavan,
okay.
interestingly.
Uh-huh.
We encourage everyone to watch it, Daughters of Destiny, and it grabs you from the first moment and the beginning of the first installment on the series is of the younger children coming to the school and their parents saying goodbye to them,
mm-hmm.
you know, until the next break, you know, it's very emotional. But the, you know, over the years, certainly Shanti Bhavan has developed a reputation, word's gotten out. We try to take half of our students from the rural areas in the villages around our school, and the other half from the urban areas, from Bangalore in the city. About a 50-mile radius, most of our kids come, you know, because during, for breaks, the parents have to come pick them up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, their parents do not have electronic devices, telephones, and, you know, so we do send a team out into these communities seeking these children. You know, we try to do a little screening with the child just to see, you know, if they seem, you know, anxious or capable of trying to communicate. But, you know, you can't really, there's not that much that you can do in terms of testing a 3 or 4 year old child.
That is very true.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's all about the most poverty stricken families in the region.
Okay. Sounds interesting as to how 200 plus kids have come to you and you're helping them out.
Right. And you know, and so every year we start with the preschool. I mean, we add a preschool class. We don't bring kids in at different grades, at fourth grade, sixth grade, 10th grade. They have to come in at that preschool level and really come through the entire program. Mm-hmm. So all of these graduating classes, every one of those kids goes on to college, mm-hmm. and then goes on to the workplace.
Mm-hmm.
And we help them, you know, we help them find jobs and prepare for, you know, life outside of the protective confines of Shanti Bhavan, if you will.
Right, right. True. Since you mentioned about the Netflix series, you said it was Daughters of Destiny. How did this happen? Is it just about underprivileged kids, or does it have a major part to do with Shanti Bhavan too?
It absolutely is about Shanti Bhavan. It came out in 2017, but it was shot for several years before mm-hmm. it actually came out. So, of course, it's been around for 5 years now. But it's really about the female students, and half of our students are male as well.
Mm-hmm.
But they follow several individual students over a period of time. And of course, you know, it's kind of funny since this is a form of entertainment on an entertainment network mm-hmm. or streaming service. Some of those students tend to become, you know, sort of famous. You know, people ask me, how's Temmozi? You know, how's, you know, Shilpa, what are they doing today? People ask me all the time. And Shilpa, when you see the documentary, Shilpa had a particularly, you know, difficult childhood. Was family members tried to murder her at birth.
Oh my God.
She was saved. She was saved from that fate.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually made her way. Her father brought her to Shanti Bhavan. She has written an autobiography, and it is called The Elephant Chaser's Daughter. It's just remarkable. Really encourage folks to you can buy it on Amazon. It's no Amazon plugs here. But the way that the Netflix documentary came about is that we had some friends, some Shanti Bhavan volunteers who knew people in Los Angeles, connected to Netflix, and producers came to the campus, fell in love with it, and saw this really, really effective program
mm-hmm.
that we have. And how effective the recipe for success was. So they met with Netflix people
mm-hmm.
and Netflix really said to us, look, we would love to do this series, but it belongs to us. You don't own the byproduct. And you have no editorial control.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So it was really a leap of faith,
mm-hmm.
you know, that Dr. George said, okay, we'll do this. We'll trust this and move forward. And it was certainly a game changer for Shanti Bhavan. You know, so many thousands more people have found out about us. But it's interesting that the little girl, like I said toward the beginning, who says in the documentary, in the trailer, my mommy was the only one who cared about me.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I'm here at Shanti Bhavan. She's now, I think, 16, a beautiful young lady. So, you know, you've got to watch it. It's really fabulous. Maybe bring some tissues, you know, to the screen when you watch it. But it's an amazing documentary. And it really depicts the challenges
mm-hmm.
that these kids have. It's really all about that. They're very difficult journey in life.
Honestly, I did not have an idea that there was a Netflix series on Shanti Bhavan and these kids, but this is definitely going on my must-watch list for sure.
That's right, tonight, tonight.
Tonight, binge watch it tonight.
Binge watch it tonight. That's right. People binge watch it and then they email us and say, oh my gosh, I am just so drawn to, you know, you, what you do in your organization. And oftentimes we'll make contributions, mm-hmm. Or offer to help in some other way. So it's a great way for us to project the mission and also share with folks the level of poverty that so many tens, hundreds of millions of people experience in India and around the world.
I'm sure that the world has to know what goes on in third world countries like India. And yeah, but I'm going to go watch that, huh? I recommend all my listeners also to do that. Speaking of which, Susan, do you want to share any, I'm just curious, do you want to share any interesting story that has come up that has moved you or that has changed you per se? Of kids,
you know, I've had the privilege
that you know of, or you've heard from your colleagues on site. I've read a lot of them on. I've read experiences of a lot of volunteers on your website, but I don't know anything mm-hmm. that you would like to share with our audience.
Yeah, you know, I've had the privilege, you know, as a I've been with Shanti Bhavan a few years, mm-hmm. and absolutely fell in love. And have hosted a few students. Mm-hmm. They're a little older than my children, but they've stayed at our home. We've gotten to know them, you know, and hear their stories. And I think that when you meet Shanti Bhavan children or students or young people, mm-hmm. you really have a sense of the confidence that they exude, the sense of purpose mm-hmm. that they have. When they shake your hand, they look in you in the eyes,
right.
You know, they know that they have a special destiny, mm-hmm. you know, and, it empowers, it's very empowering. So it's very exciting. It's, an extraordinary group of people who make this happen, mm-hmm. Around the world, particularly the people on campus, really, really love these children, the aunties and the nannies who take care of the little ones. And, you know, it's a wonderful place to grow up, and to really launch these lives. The one thing I wanted to mention is that we also acknowledge that some of the life skills that maybe you or I possess that we picked up along the way from our parents or community or our schools, networking, for example, learning how to network to find a job, you know, how to write a cover letter, how to develop a resume, even financial literacy, or how to deal with sexual harassment in the workplace. All of these kinds of things, we provide professional development and personal development trainings for our students. They're going on constantly. Mm-hmm. We call it part of our alumni support or alumni relations. We make sure that they have everything that they need to be successful. We remain in contact with all of our graduates and make sure they're doing okay and checking to see what they need, how they're doing. And we want to be able to brag about their success, but mm-hmm. we want them to be equipped to never feel like they're in this alone. So I think the alums themselves would say they really receive an extraordinary level of support way, you know, past graduation day, mm-hmm. At Shanti Bhavan. We're with them always. And these of course can be our leaders in the future.
True. There are some inspiring stories that you have published on your website, and I think people should read that too. It's very moving.
Who are these? Well, we welcome everyone. Last thing I wanted to kind of throw out there is we welcome everyone to join us in our 25th anniversary year. We're hoping to, you know, create events all around the world to celebrate. Mm-hmm. Feel free to reach out to me if you would like to do that. You'll see my name. I'm Suzanne at, and so it's S-U-Z-A-N-N-E, Suzanne at ShantiBhavanChildren.org. I will be delighted to answer any questions you have and tell you about our plans all over the globe for our 25th anniversary. Mm-hmm.
Of course, I think I will put down the link also so people can write to you or come visit your website. I think that would be good.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
No problem at all. It's the very least that we can do to spread what amazing work you guys are doing. Another question is, who are these people who fund these kids? Are they from, are all of them from abroad? Or are Indian corporates actively involved in helping these kids? Who are these people that are helping you? I'm sure they are
absolutely, yeah,
an essential part and the backbone too. So,
mm-hmm. Yes, we the answer really is yes to all of the above. Mm-hmm. We have received a lot of support from Indian companies and, from their CSR, efforts and priorities, as well as sort of, global multi-conglomerate companies that are everywhere, from ExxonMobil to, banks to all kinds of, companies support us, particularly in India, with funding, which is enormously helpful, particularly with our infrastructure. We also have donors, individual donors. I would say, almost every country on the globe, folks make contributions. Most people make contributions online. That's the easiest thing to do. We have quite a few really large donors who make contributions to perhaps have naming rights or rename a building on our campus, like a dormitory or cafeteria or, classrooms. And we love it when someone says, look, I would love to honor my father and mother for what they've given me in life. Mm-hmm. I'd like to dedicate that to my parents, and they make a substantial gift, and we rename it. We have we put up a big plaque, and we have a ceremony. Mm-hmm. We take pictures of the ceremony, but it really enables people, I think, to feel as if they have a way to honor their loved ones and give prominence to them on our campus, which really is a haven of peace, which is ShantiBhavan.
Mm-hmm.
So a little of everything, corporate, individual, from really all over the world, a lot. Certainly we receive a lot of contributions to the U.S. We're a big country. Mm-hmm. The corporate, contributions from India. We also receive a lot of contributions from countries around Europe, mm-hmm. UK and so on, Australia, Canada. Those are some of the big ones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great that people take some time. And I think it's not just money, right? I think even these volunteers are an essential part, and contributing their time and their efforts to this also means a lot, given that you have volunteers absolutely from all over the world.
Absolutely. We've really suffered for not being able to have the volunteers on campus for the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. They had to leave campus, in March of 2020. So they were really, really missed. Mm-hmm. So we're expecting them to come back in June. So we're very excited. Next month.
Uh-huh. That's amazing.
Yeah. All excited.
Yeah.
Everyone's excited. Look at the kids are excited. So
let's just hope COVID goes away and it doesn't show up anymore.
In our prayers and wishes, absolutely.
For sure. No, I'm sure that things will get back to normal and you will continue to get the support. If not anyone, these kids deserve it.
Yeah. Well, it's an amazing, when the pandemic hit, and of course, no one knew what was going to happen next, right? It was such a scary time for everyone. And our campus closed down. Our volunteers had to leave. Our campus stayed open to, I mean, we were close to visitors, but we carried on with everything as normal. We didn't, but no one knew what was going to happen. And it was really remarkable that the support that we received from around the world continued, even during tough economic times, we did not experience a substantial drop. So we're very grateful that folks wanted to make it a priority to support Shanti Bhavan, even at a time where they maybe were suffering some loss, personal loss, economic loss. Shanti Bhavan remained a priority for them. Mm-hmm. We're very grateful.
Maybe COVID also brought perspective to people's lives and taught them that this matters, and helping the needy is an important and essential part of everyone's life. So owe it to COVID bit also. Maybe my last question would be that what makes Shanti Bhavan so special? Would you like to talk about any special programs that you curate or anything? What according to you makes Shanti Bhavan the most special?
Well, you know, there's so many elements for, you know, of success, but I think that the core intention that Dr. Abraham George, our founder, his core vision was, he did a lot of research before he built this school and recruited the finest teachers. The idea was, there are many of literacy programs around India and around the world, and that's good, but it wasn't but a lot of those literacy programs aren't really transformative. They're not lifting entire families out of poverty. They're not changing that trajectory of generational poverty. You know, these children are born into poverty. They have virtually no chance of escaping, ever. I mean, no chance. This is their only chance to truly escape that generational poverty and, frankly, generational debt. You know, in India, many folks know this. If your family takes out loans, even to, you know, sort of not so, you know, even sort of informally, you know, not just to banks and so on, those loans, that debt continues after their death. So their children and their grandchildren are paying off those debts. And there can be terrible repercussions in their villages if they don't pay off those debts. They can be thrown out of their own villages. I mean, it's really it's a harsh circumstance. So Dr. George was committed to not only providing education and literacy, but to creating a really transformative program. So he recruited these folks. He knew this was going to be a long journey. You know, these children go through this entire program, and you know, to experience this success. So that was certainly key. The children are protected. Our campus is a secular, I would say non-religious, spiritual environment. It's a secular environment. Girls are treated like boys and vice versa. People are treated with respect and dignity, no exception. These are really sort of key ingredients for a successful model.
I'm sure Shanti Bhavan is an epitome of where NGOs and in general educational institutes should be secular, promoting what you guys are doing. That is so amazing. What stands out for me is to see how these kids have grown up and how they are giving back to the society which they grew up in. Coming from these alumni and these kids who have passed out, I'm sure a lot more kids who from their own society will come forward, get educated, and give back to society in whatever magnitudes that they can. Coming from a very similar background, maybe not, I'm not from the poverty-ridden class, but I know what poverty in India looks like, and us who have the ability to contribute in whatever magnitudes that we can should do it without a second thought. Kudos to your whole group for doing it so well. And you yourself, you're such a wonderful, wonderful human being, Susan. Maybe we should do another interview on the amazing person that you are and not about Gandhi.
I would be terribly dull. But thank you. That's very kind of you to say. It's lovely to spend this time with you.
Likewise.
It's absolutely my pleasure. This is the highlight of my day. Thank you so much.
Likewise. I thoroughly enjoy talking to you about Shanti Bhavan. So guys, I would suggest all of you go watch that series on Netflix called Daughters of Destiny. Read the book that Ms. Susan mentioned. And go give a shout out to these people, Shanti Bhavan, and support their 25th year in whatever magnitude that you can. We have a short write up about Shanti Bhavan on our website. I will leave a link to that. You can go read about them. And that's it from us for today. Thanks for listening to us. Thank you, Susan. It was wonderful.